your gun and bring the cat in.
And welcome to Subject to Discussion. I am Sean O'Mac. Welcome to LVRocks.com. If you're out there on the website, you might get into the chat room. Click on Cam and Chat, and you could join us there for the show. And we're going to be joining, I think it's our guest right there on the line. So, all right, it is him, so we'll bring him on in just a moment. And everybody sees my paper here. Somebody at work did me the favor, good or bad, of cutting the corners off my paper. But anyway, I guess we can bring on Mr. Olmos, right? Yeah, all right. And joining us is Bode Olmos. You there, sir?
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi. Great, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if you, I was just saying how somebody at work cut the corners off my papers for the show tonight. So, I mean, some of these people are really into the show. I mean, there you go.
Nice.
There you go. So anyway, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. No problem. How is it being part of the show, being part of Galactica? I mean, it's got to be incredible. I mean,
yeah, you know, it's overwhelming, yeah. I think.
Have you had any problems with the fans? I mean, I know the fans are so strong about towards the show. I mean, have you run anybody in the store or something? It just, you're like, wow. I mean, this show is really popular.
You know? Not yet. But all the feedback that I've gotten from, really involved science fiction fans,
mm-hmm.
As well as mediocre fans of science fiction, have all just really taken to the show.
Yeah. Are you surprised? I mean.
In a way I am really mm-hmm. surprised, although my father was very excited about the show and believed in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of is, I understand a little better why, just the success of the show.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think when the script first arrived, for your role, your dad's role, wherever, and they saw Galactica, you're probably like, what the hell is this? You know what I mean? Because, the show in the 70s has a perception of being a big flop and everything. What did you all think when you got the, said Battlestar Galactica? Did you all laugh or what?
A little, when I first heard that he was going to be doing it, it was a little questionable because of that.
Yeah, did you ask him what he was drinking or what?
Yeah. Well, but I understand, where my father comes from and mm-hmm. how when he decides to do something, I just thought it was it must have been a great story.
Yeah. Oh, for those of us just joining us, it's Bode Olmos is on the line, and he stars as Constanza Hot Dog on the series, and you're going to show up, I think, in 2 weeks, right, in The Hand of God?
That's correct. And I believe I'm in this next episode that's coming up.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have your bio here, and the next one is Tie Me Down, Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, wherever it is. And it sounds like a little S&M storyline going on in Galactica, huh? And the ratings are going through the roof. Because last week was Flesh and Bone. That's a little title there, like a little kinky. Mm-hmm. And now the Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, and then they got Hand of God. And then you're going to be in that one, and then the part one of the cliffhanger, right? And Kobol's last gleaming. Now, you've had quite a career. I mean, I want to this whole interview be about Galactica or anything, but you've been – what was your first role?
First role, I was 6 years old.
Wow.
I worked with my father on The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez.
Oh, that's it. Who were you?
I was one of the Rangers' sons.
Oh, really?
Sons, yeah.
Wow.
And it was
Wait a minute, it was back in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
81.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and prior to that, I'd been, my father was always very willing to bring us with him to where he was shooting and expose us to that
mm-hmm.
environment.
Wow. And then, were you on Stand and Deliver as well?
That's correct. I played Jaime Escalante's younger son, Fernando.
There you go.
In that.
I've been beat up because I've been murdering the name of that movie. Some reason I had stuck my head as Stand Alone or Stand By Me. I kept killing the name of that movie, but it was the Stand and Deliver. But that was an excellent movie as well.
Correct, yeah.
And then you're in American Family, which was on PBS.
Yeah.
No, 2 years ago? Last year?
Last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how was that? That had been an experience. I mean, that was a heck of a mini. It was a miniseries, wasn't it? It was on for how many weeks?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was actually for two seasons.
Really? How was that?
And that was a really special project, I think, for everyone, and everyone who watched it as well, because it was, first of its kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they showed
it was a really special thing to be a part of, and that whole cast and crew was just such a honor to work with, and again alongside with my father. Although we only had one moment that we shared on screen, because I played all of his flashbacks.
Oh, okay.
So every That's time right. they went back into time, that was all my work. But we had one moment where he was looking into a mirror and I was looking into a mirror.
Wow.
And we were able to kind of, without really interacting with one another.
Wow.
We played the scene together.
So it was pretty cool. I mean, look in the mirror. He looks in the mirror and he sees you looking back at him, or vice versa.
I'm staring. That's right. He's looking into the mirror.
He's seen himself as a child.
And flashing
right.
back to there when he was looking in the mirror, getting ready for the wedding.
There you go.
And he was going to go and marry his to-be wife.
Really. Now, what's the role you like to play the best? Do you like sci-fi? What genre? We had Aaron and Alonzo on, and they said they both want to do a military type of show. And what kind of role would you like to play?
I'm pretty open. I enjoy human experience. So within that and understanding more about human behavior and that sort of psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of open at this point of my career, whether it be comedy, whether it be drama. I'm more understanding, I think, of character work.
Mm-hmm.
So really anything that revolves around a character and that line of work as far as acting is concerned really inspires me and intrigues me.
Really. Now, who are your acting inspirations? I know your dad, and I also want to give my condolences about your grandfather.
Uh-huh.
He was Coward Keel, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Thank you for your condolences.
No problem. He was I met him here in Vegas a few years ago when Debbie Reynolds owned the Debbie Reynolds Hotel, and she brought him in a couple times for she aired old movies, and she brought in the stars at all the old movies.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what movie. I think I probably was Showboat. And I met him there, and he was really a nice man. I got to talk to him for quite a while there. We had a luncheon afterwards, and just, I think he liked me, he said, because him and I were the tallest people in the room. So he was a big man. He was, what, 6'4 or 6'5?
Yeah, he's about actually 6'5.
Yeah, yeah.
With a 64-inch chest.
Wow, I'm a 50-inch chest, so wow, he was a big man. But
he's impressive.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and a great, great actor. I mean, I think he deserves more credit for Dallas stay on as long as it did. He deserves more of the credit than he's been given, because I remember, Larry Hagman needed a foil in that show, and it wasn't for your dad doing well as Clayton Farlow being that foil for JR. I just don't think that show would have lasted as long as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they lost Jim Davis, I mean, it was like the foil for JR. So, but again, he was a great, great actor, and my compliments to you. I mean, he's a great man.
Well, it's a little overwhelming at times,
mm-hmm.
but I think the best thing for me is to embrace it and I did get to spend a good time with him.
Yeah, very good.
And speak with him about the craft.
Mm-hmm.
And what it meant to him and his advice to me going into the industry, and stories about my father that he recalled, and I've been really fortunate that way.
Oh, very good. And now during this off in between the season shooting and the second season starting up, what have you been doing? You've been shooting any films or TV series?
I've been staying as busy as can. I've done a couple of things, a short film by the name of Manejar, which will be coming out soon.
What's it called?
Manejar, which means to drive in Spanish.
Oh, wow. All right.
And that was really a sweet story that will be coming out by Shelley Gant. And another piece, a small role in an independent feature of Brazilians.
Is that what's called,
and
the Brazilians?
They'll both be coming out shortly.
Wow. In the United States, or?
What's that?
In the United States, or?
Yeah, here in the United States, yeah.
Wow.
They're both here, actually shot in L.A.
Wow.
Although even though the short film took place a little bit in Mexico, and just south of the border here.
Now, what role so far has been your favorite? Any role you've had, or you have a role that you'd like to play, maybe in the future?
You know, I'm really enjoying Hot Dog right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited about this role because it's got a lot of, I think, different ingredients to the character.
Mm-hmm.
He's I think he's got a lot of struggles, yet he's very talented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he faces, you know, you don't really know where he's coming from. Where is his family,
mm-hmm.
and how did he get here, and why was he, a washed out pilot, and he's so good, and he's got a little bit of an edge to him, but he's still innocent, I think.
Right now, have you come up with your own backstory for your character? I know a lot of people have had on it. They've come up with their own, like soap actors. They come up, they have a character, and they come up with their own backstory.
Certainly, I think, yeah. I try and do it daily, you know. And I try to find new things about them and answer questions that I still have yet to answer and try to on a daily. And I think they come up through just, you know, living your life. You know, you find things that inspire you to flourish a certain character, which is really, I think, a joy of acting.
Now the actress is with you as part of the Nuggets. Now your Hot Dog, was she? Is she relish or Piccalilli? I wanted to get that out for a while.
Yeah, no, those were. Oh God, I know. I can't wait for that to start.
There you go. They gotta give her that name on the show. Yeah, you know? I want they have Piccalilli or relish in the colonies. But
yeah.
But I mean, your first scene was with. Katie, Sackhoff is at Starbucks, right? And she got in
Correct.
Your face and says she's your god, and you know, she gave you the name of Hot Dog.
Yeah.
How was that scene? Do you like working with her? Or
I did. I enjoyed. Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. You know, it was a great experience, especially and a little bit nerve wracking. You know, these guys had been working up there for a little while, and coming onto it so green. I think it also suited the character really well. You know,
mm-hmm.
as far as first time meeting, you know, your superiors, and that's exactly what they are on the show. And just, but they were very warm, and she was so very focused as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it was time to work, she was fully committed, and that's what it takes. And it was very easy to work with her because, you know, she's there for you.
Yeah. Now, how is it seeing that Viper with the blue screen? It's got to be a nightmare in trying to figure out what they're trying to tell you to react to. You know what I mean?
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be. Definitely the first time I worked with it, it was very challenging,
mm-hmm.
Almost frustrating. No, it's like throw a Cylon at me, something. But then again, it's the work of the imagination, and you're allowed to experience that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're a good actor, you should be able to react to whatever the director tells you to react to, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And that's all you can ask for, really.
Now, you have a question from the chat room. Would you be comfortable being on Galactica for, say, 7 years? The show ran 7.
I would be ecstatic.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Now, because a lot of people, I've asked Aaron, I've asked a couple of others, because if you do the show for however long it runs, you're pretty much going to be identified as Hot Dog or Constanza. Like, you know, Shatner's identified as Kirk forever. No matter what he does, he'll always somehow be referred to as Kirk. Yeah. How would you feel about that?
I would. It would be an honor.
Really, very good.
You know, and I'm blessed to be able to work.
Yeah.
And if that's what I can make my mark as, and it shall be Hot Dog, then I shall be Hot Dog.
I see, our producer Khan's got a
question.
Yeah,
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. How old are you?
Me?
Myself?
No,
I am
29. Okay, so did you watch any of the original Battlestar, have you ever seen them?
Right, I have seen them, but to be honest, it was kind of phasing out as I was maybe getting into it.
Well, that was like the lead in to the question I was wanted to ask you. Do you have any opinions about Starbuck being a girl? Does it matter to you, or were you kind of like, well, or did you feel kind of impartial on that, or you just didn't have any opinion at all?
I really didn't. I was too, the show's kind of fresh for me. So the way I see the story now is kind of pretty natural and organic for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because really, the show's reimagined everything. You can't pretty much say, you know, go to Ronald Moore and say, hey, I'm not going to do this role unless you make Starbuck a man again. You know what I mean?
He didn't have to do the, you know how pretty much the past guests, they had to go to some training?
Oh, did you have to go to the boot camp? They send you off to the boot camp?
I did not get a chance to do that, no.
Well, lucky you, because they said it was pretty horrible.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, they made them all throw up or something, didn't they? Well, that's good, though. I mean, you know, they should, you know, time out there, make like they're really learning their stuff out there. You know,
it was, and I think they, even though I feel that it shows, you know, in the show the dedication throughout the whole cast and stuff.
Yeah, like say, I told the others. I mean, you're all your characters. You know what I mean? I mean, it seems like some shows you watch, you can tell they're kind of going through the motions. That but like Galactica, you know, like your hot dog is like, you know. Like you're him, you know what I mean? And then
right.
Aaron is Tyrell, and the other, I mean, it seems like you're all your characters. I mean, I don't know if that's hard to understand or not. It just seems like you're all doing a good job. It's just you are your character, you know what I mean?
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible how y'all get along. And that set, how's that set? That set's enormous, I understand. I read an interview with Mary McDonnell, and she said she got lost on that set.
You need a map.
Now, did you ever get lost?
You ever get lost?
You know what? I'm you know, I feel silly admitting it, but I have. Yeah.
Where'd you get lost? Or how'd
I got
you get lost
in the ship. When you know where you see all the you know them going through the
hallways,
the Battlestar Galactica, and you get.
Is it enclosed? Is the whole thing set
it's
enclosed?
Enclosed? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Did they make it actually like bigger than like a normal ship would be because they got to fit the cameras in there?
Yeah. It may be. Yeah. It's just, it's big.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
an enormous
they
set.
Could provide you with a map, and it would really help.
Wow. Yeah, Aaron was on.
He should feel privileged, though, because he's one of the few to actually sit in the Viper.
There you go. Yeah, because Aaron Douglas says he's never sat in the Viper. He doesn't plan to until they actually make him sit in the Viper.
You know, it might happen.
I
hope he's prepared to fly.
There you go. But, I mean, it's just, how do you like working with Mary McDonnell? Have you any scenes with Mary McDonnell?
No, not yet.
Wow, are you looking forward to that? It's got to be incredible.
I am dreaming of that.
Really? Yeah, that's got to be.
You know, all the guys, you just want, and that's the great thing about the cast, I think, is you want to work with them all.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And, and Litmus, where were you? Were you one of the burn victims in Litmus?
No.
No, because they have you, they listed in the credits. I'm like, well, where were you? Because they had the Doro blew up the bomb on the ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had listed you in the credits. Do you know what scene you're in? I couldn't find you. Maybe it was they deleted one. I don't know.
Because that was just after the continued show, right?
Yeah. That was excellent.
I'm
mean,
spacing right now.
Hmm?
I missed it this week. Past week. So.
Oh, yeah, this past week was Flesh and Bone.
Right.
This past week that they just had, this past Friday's, was, I would say, the least eventful out of all of them. It was pretty drab.
Really?
The ending kind of gave you some interest, like, oh, next week's going to be cool. It was kind of, it's one of those episodes that's like a lead-in. It's one of those episodes where you got to put in to set up for next week. It's kind of drab. It was kind of like boring for me. But
have you been watching all the episodes of the series?
You know, I've been meaning to, but I, to be honest, I haven't caught all of them.
Yeah. Do you like watching yourself act? I mean, a lot of people I've had on says, oh, no. I know James Garner never wants to see himself on screen. You know what I mean? Unless he's forced to.
You know, some I think sometimes they're better than others, but for the most part, I can watch it pretty objectively.
Really?
Thank God, yeah. And I kind of contribute that to my father and the work that he does, because he's a very he very much advocates watching your dailies, even and
you haven't seen
your work.
You haven't done a scene with your dad, have you?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, how was that?
He did a scene when
I returned,
the second part, the opening of the second part, right? And,
yeah.
They rescue him from the attack from the Cylons when Starbuck gets lost in that planet, and then Adama comes up to you and says to take this man to sick, but he needs help because he asked you where was she and everything else, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Does it more pressure on you when you do a scene with your dad?
No, I think less almost.
Yeah.
That was one of my I found better moments.
Right. How about working with Michael Hogan? Have you have any scenes with him yet?
No, not with Michael yet.
How is he though? I mean, he's a huge star in Canada.
He is amazing.
Yeah.
A very, very sweet man.
Yeah, and he won't do interviews. I found out too. He does his own thing and leave me alone. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to be bothered with anything.
Yeah.
You know, he's like an old school type of thing. I do my job, go home, and that's it. You know what I mean? It seems like it.
Might be. I'm not sure. You know, he's very, very. You know, kind to us and stuff.
Is there anyone that you haven't gotten along with on the set?
He's not going to answer that. No. Are you kidding me?
Why not?
You're not supposed to answer questions like that, right?
Nope.
No. Yeah, I know.
It's just a question.
When I was younger, when I was 12, I was on All My Children, that's the first thing they tell you. Don't badmouth your co-star.
You don't have to badmouth them. Just say, you know, did you have any conflict with anyone?
No, I haven't.
No.
Really?
Question. You haven't gotten along with the Cylons, right?
There's a couple of Cylons that get on my nerves, yes.
That's the only one. Now, what's the rumor that Martha Stewart's going to play the Imperius leader? We hear about that one.
Oh, I haven't heard this yet.
No, the rumors are to go crazy about the show. They have heard, somebody said that her or Donald Trump are going to play the Cylon god. She's going to go from prison to Battlestar Galactica. You know? But actually, she just got released, I think, today. She's back home on her house arrest for 5 months.
That was
now.
Friday.
Or Friday, whatever. But now, have they signed you for next season already?
I believe so.
Wow.
I haven't received an official phone call, but we'll see.
Really? Because they start shooting in a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, down in, March 28th, I believe they start shooting.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
And last week of March.
Has the director, given you any info on where he wants your character to go to, for the future, or are you just kind of winging it right now?
I think I'm winging it right now. We haven't really had that discussion yet.
Yeah. I mean, because this season's really short, 13 episodes, and I think next season they said it's going to be 20, so I'm sure there'll be more room for the other characters to get developed and everything on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? I mean, because really, they flew by the seat of their pants because as soon as the miniseries over, they had a few months of a delay, and they dove right into the series.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, do you like being up there in Vancouver? I mean, it's a beautiful country up there,
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean it's Hollywood North up there because you're all up there and all the Stargate shows are up there and there's a lot of series shooting up there.
Yeah, lot of production.
Yeah. Now, have you tried to get on some of the other programs like in guest stints or what?
I'm sorry.
Have you trying to get on some of the other shows up there? Is like guest star roles or?
No, not necessarily. I've been pretty just dedicated to Battlestar right now.
That's good.
Seeing where that leads.
Yeah, would they stop you if you say you want to guest star on, I imagine not Stargate because those shows are right in front of Galactica, but anything else that's shooting up there, would they have any?
Gosh, I
probably
don't
not.
Know.
Yeah.
I haven't asked.
Are you a sci-fi freak? I mean, do you like sci-fis or would you like to go into something else?
I would say I enjoy them. You know, I don't think I'm a freak about them.
What would you like to do then?
What would I like to do?
Yeah.
Whatever I can really.
What interests you? What would you? I mean, would you like to do a Western or just a crime drama or?
Yeah, I would actually like to do some crime drama.
There you go.
That would be interesting, and also action, a little bit of action.
Who do you like to go see? Like, if a movie comes out, who do you like?
I enjoy watching. A lot of the. Maybe older actors. I enjoy watching Robert Duvall
he's a great actor.
You know, Albert Finney.
Albert Finney?
And The Big Fish. I love that movie. I really enjoyed Finding Neverland.
Oh, excellent. Excellent movie.
Yeah. So that kind of story really intrigues me a lot.
What about, Sideways? Have you seen Sideways?
Sideways was an amazing movie.
Excellent. Yeah, I think they really got screwed at the Academy Awards, but
yeah.
It's an excellent movie. Any role. I mean, really, you're an actor. You take any role that comes your way, right? I mean, if you like it.
Yeah, you know, depending on the story, it's and you know what you can do.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, maybe she's like Deadwood or something like that. You'd be good at Deadwood, probably, huh?
Possibly. You know, I'm not too familiar with the show, but
yeah, it's on HBO. It's with Ian McShane and some of the others.
I enjoy House. House.
Oh, it's on Fox. Yeah, that's an excellent show. It's like a Quincy type of a show, a little bit like Quincy.
Yeah.
Quincy with an X-Files twist.
Yeah, yeah. But would you like to do a series like that, like a doctor type of show?
It would be interesting, yeah. A medical show.
Yeah. That would be, because those shows are starting to come back, I think, too.
I think so.
Yeah, because the cop drama thing, they beat that to death with Law and Order and NYPD Blue, and the genres always re-energize themselves. The medical dramas are the next one to come back. The sitcoms have been beat to death. Have you been on any sitcoms, or do you want to be on a sitcom?
People tell me I'm funny and I should do more comedy, but if the opportunity comes and I'm prepared for it, I think I would do it.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a question in the chat room. What kind of music do you like? What do you listen to?
I got heavily into jazz and blues.
There you go.
For a while, and that was kind of took over my life. I liked a lot of bebop jazz, and then of course I love old rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Steely Dan fan, and of course from my generation, Van Halen,
and
a couple of the other rock bands. But I love music. I'm happy they asked that. I just love all kinds of music. I'm not really partial to any one type of music. I love reggae. I love Latin music, jazz, country, R&B. My father was a musician, so.
I got a picture of him from his webmaster, and he's got long hair in this picture.
Yeah.
I'm threatening to send it to the Inquirer.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell? I've never seen him with long hair. Every show or movie I've seen him, he's always had the short hair. That's Edward James Olmos? Yeah. That's a guy from West Wing. He was on West Wing a couple years back playing that judge.
There was a question, what else work he's done, but he already asked that, didn't you?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Now, what's the last movie you've seen that you like?
The last movie I saw?
Yeah.
What I really liked, it was a little late that I saw it, but I saw, what was it, with Ben Kingsley, I really liked.
Ben Kingsley, what was he in?
His last movie, House of Sand and Fog.
All right, is that it? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. The last movie I saw was Fahrenheit 9/11.
No.
And I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a very intense film.
Yeah.
And great work done by all the actors.
Yeah. Now, do you have any issues you advocate? I know your dad, is big in issues and some political issues. Are you big on anything? Human rights or,
I guess I would say, yeah. Yeah. I'm not well versed in it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'd have to say, I definitely care for the planet and mm-hmm. as best as I can, as far as our oceans and the continent itself and bigger scheme. But my political stance is really I don't get too involved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just some people. Once you get into it, it's like, ugh. Yeah, I mean, politics is that.
Okay.
Once you get into politics, it's just a nasty business. You know what I mean? They chew you up.
I don't know enough about it to really even.
Yeah. Now looking out 10 years from now, where do you see yourself?
Where do I see myself?
Yeah.
Continuing the work I'm doing, hopefully, and God willing, and kind of passing on what. My father and my family have taught me, and I've learned from them, and continuing that, and giving back is really what, all I can do in this time is, give back to what I've been given so freely.
Oh, very good. Well, Buddy, almost. Do you have a website?
Not yet. I'm currently working on that, but okay. I'll forward you that information soon.
All right. And Bode, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing you on the show in a couple weeks, 2 weeks, I believe. And
enjoy.
We'll keep an eye on your career as you go, and we'll bring you up on in a few weeks if you want.
Okay. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Take
thank
care,
you.
Guys.
Bye-bye. And
that
was Bode Olmos, Constanza Hot Dog from Battlestar Galactica. And, well, it was, nice little interview there. He's really well-rounded. He's got all kinds of career options and everything else going.
He needs a shot of a drum.
No. It's great hearing from him. I mean, it's a character he has on there. It's a hot dog. These smaller characters are going to be, improving the next season because they have 20 episode order for next season. And so we'll see where that goes. And, now we'll be joined in a couple minutes by Koenig Rules. He's out there, floating around. And, I'll go through the ratings for, I have the ratings for the marathon they ran a couple weeks ago. They did a 0.8 rating for the 5 hour marathon, they ran. And, I believe that's going to be Koenig Rules. And I thought the last week's episode was damn good. So it was Flesh and Bone, and it was an excellent show they ran. And it was Rosalind is more like one of the star of the episode, and her and Starbuck. But still, is that Koenig Rules? Oh, all right. We can turn them up. You ready? Yeah. Oh, okay. And Friday's rating did a 2.5 household rating. They had 2.8 million viewers, the show's done well. It's the highest rated episode since the season premiere, so that's excellent. And a lot of people are concerned because the ratings fell off from a week ago to 2.2, but they've rebounded with last Friday's Flesh and Bone ratings to 2.5, and a lot of it attributed to Valentine's Day. And the week before was President's Weekend, and then the weekend before was Valentine's Day, so they contributed the fall off due to that. So and like I said, last week's we had it, and then the miniseries, the rerun they did at 0.8, that was excellent too. I mean, a lot of people, I thought nobody's gonna watch this because it was 5 weeks old, and the people who've watched it aren't gonna watch it again. But I was surprised because they went in. And that people watch again. A 0.8 in the cable is excellent. Because I say, consider a 0.1 is 1.0 is considered great for cable, and a 0.8 for a 5 hour marathon of shows that already aired. Well, that's pretty good itself. And I think we're ready for Koenig. Is he on? Turn him up. No. There you go. Koenig Rules. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
There you go. There's the silence again. And welcome back to the show.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you?
Okay.
All right. And actually, you got some news about the production start update. What do you think of the ratings? They did 2.53, whatever it was, right?
Right.
Yeah, so the highest rated episode since the season premiere.
That's right.
Correct. And
they're very pleased with it over at Sci-Fi.
Oh, I imagine they are. I mean, they must have been happy that the ratings shot back up after the President's Weekend and the Valentine's Weekend are over with.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got some news about the production schedule. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, my BSG inside source says that they are going to be starting on March 28th. Now, some have indicated that, like Hollywood North Report, that March 28th is Easter Monday, mm-hmm. and it's sometimes observed as a holiday, mm-hmm. in which case, if that's the case, then it will be definitely March 29th.
Really?
And they're going to continue filming all the way till July 19th, doing the first 10 episodes.
Wow.
And then they're going to take a month break on hiatus from July 20th to August 16th. And then they're going to start shooting again August 17th, and they're going to go until December 6th, wrapping up the last 10 episodes.
Really? Excellent. And he also had news about a rumor possibly that Sci-Fi is going to move the show to a different night and time. Is that correct?
Well, it was interesting when I contacted my Sci-Fi source. And by the way, it's still interesting that he says that dip of 2.2, mm-hmm. according to his figures,
it's wrong.
It was 2.5 that week.
So really?
He keeps saying it's been flat ever since... The week after Bastille Day. Day did take that dip to 2.3.
Yeah. Well, because actually, because Sci-Fi, when she, the lady I know over there, she sent me the ratings for this past Friday. She matched up against the previous week, the 2.2, and she's standing by it. I don't know. And there's a mix-up with the numbers. I don't know. Because she said from this from Flesh and Bone against the previous week, that went down to 2.2. It was up 15% in household ratings. Up 10% in the 18 to 49s, and up 5% in the 25 to 54s. So she's sticking by those numbers, I guess. So I don't know what the difference is.
Neither do I, because that seems to be the only discrepant week that we've had with the ratings.
Yeah.
But interestingly, as I was talking to the one over at Sci-Fi, he said that he was going to have to give a report. Talk about the ratings, and ultimately the question would come up, should Battlestar Galactica continue to be shown on Friday nights along with the Stargates? And he said, we're not going to be doing any switching soon, but when you have your best shows like Stargate and Battlestar on one night a week, it probably would be a good idea to maybe have another night where you could also get the same type of ratings, too. And his view was that not to separate the two Stargates, view them as a package deal, but maybe have another lead-in to Battlestar if they wanted to switch it in terms of time. Instead of 9 o'clock, maybe, well, that would be Central Time, 8 o'clock Central Time. Another night with a good lead-in show that they would be developing, a first-run series that they would be developing.
Now, well,
but that wouldn't be until season two.
Yeah. Well, they're
going to stick it out with the lineup they have right now.
Yeah. There's a rumor that they're going to pick up a show that apparently is on Showtime or HBO that they canceled. They're going to
is that Dead Like Me?
Dead Like Me. They're going to bring that over and put that in front of Galactica and put those two shows on a different night and get the, you know, try and cash in on the ratings.
Well, you know what?
They just pick up the Enterprise show that was.
No.
Dead Like Me is a fantastic show. I mean, I've watched it for 2 years. What would unfortunately have to happen with Dead Like Me is they'd have to get rid of some of the foul-mouthed language and some of the nudity, so they'd really have to tone it down for Sci-Fi. But
what about Doctor Who?
Well, see, I was checking out something on IGN Film Force today, and they basically said that Sci-Fi looked at the first couple episodes of Doctor Who, and they felt that it really didn't fit in with the rest of their programming. So they have decided to take a pass on it, but Universal still might be interested in it.
Maybe they put it on NBC or...
Or they have an HD type of network, and Doctor Who is being filmed in high definition.
Oh,
so,
there you go. It might fit over there.
Yeah, but, you know, when I was thinking of Doctor Who, I thought, wow, that would be dynamite, putting Doctor Who with Battlestar Galactica together, two reimaged shows that have come back. I mean, that would be wonderful. I mean, two established shows too that got the ratings initially, and that probably would be getting the ratings again. So,
and what did you think about this past episode? What did you think of Flesh and Bone? I thought it was excellent.
I did too.
Yeah, they opened with Rosalind having a dream that she's, you know, I don't know what she's doing, hip-scopping through the forest. Grandma's house for some tea and crumpets or something. No.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because there's this whole aspect of precognition and prediction of the future that Leoben is saying
in
that
her dreams
they're going to find Cobalt, which no spoilers
well, she told that
here,
to Starbuck.
But they will, you know, at the end of this season, and you know, Laura Roslin also seeing what happens to Leoben, you know, in her dream where he gets whisked away.
Yeah, and it happens for real.
A premonition of his end. So, I mean, on the boards are already saying Laura Roslin's a Cylon or She's got a chip implanted in her, but there's obviously some type of psychic link that she's sharing in some sense with the Cylons.
Really?
Now, whether that's due to her illness or the medication that they're treating her for her illness, that has yet to be determined.
Yeah, I like that when Starbuck went over to the Gemini Traveler to interrogate the Leoben, that he said that they gave a nod towards the original series, I think, because he said, you know, our roles are reversed. The last time it was you, me interrogating you, like in the original series,
right?
Maybe, kind of. I know they dropped these hints. You don't, maybe they're not really making a nod towards the original show, but you know, everybody reads into it like they are. You know,
sure.
Sure.
Ron Moore did say that he re-examined a couple of episodes before, or a significant number of episodes before he started off filming the first season. So I'm sure he's making nods all along. Whether he's going to do the Commander Cain story or the Ship of Lights in season two. Remains to be seen, but
do you really want them
I'm sure he's going to introduce some other elements.
Yeah, do you really want them remaking all these episodes? I don't. I wish they just move on. I mean, because they start doing that, and it ratchets up all the fans, and everybody's up in arms because, who's going to play who? I wish they get away from that and just do their episodes the way they want them, not rehashing the old ones.
I agree. It still would be cool, though, to have some type of Imperius leader because it's almost like the Cylons have a plan, okay, but who's calling the shots?
Yeah.
And it would be, and if Moore has that, he's going to reveal a prime mover of the Cylons, if you will, whether it's Count Ibley, whether it's Imperius leader. He's going to build that, I think, real slowly.
Yeah. Now, what'd you think of Boomer there humming her little song to the Cylon Viper when she's touching it, like if she's singing it a lullaby or something? That was a little weird, huh?
Yeah, she's got definitely this type of link with the machine.
Yeah.
I think I said this on a previous program that the ship seems almost like alive, sort of bio. Type of mechanism, and so
I don't think that ship is dead. I think that ship's going to come to life at some point, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
definitely.
And then the Caprica Boomer met up with the Six and Doral there on the planet, and they got a cottage for him with all the, I guess, because she had sex with Hilo, and now they're going to find him a little place to live or something on Caprica. So, I mean, they're scheming for something, and we don't want to give it away.
Yeah, maybe even have a family.
Who knows? And then...
There's a lot of subplots
going on.
Adama
with the corpse in the morgue, and he leans over to him and says no. And then the phone was still off the hook, so you wonder who was listening. Was Ty on the other end, or was Rosalind listening on the other end of that phone?
Right, and then at one point it looks like he's almost ready to pound the receiver into Leoben's face or whatever.
Yeah, you wonder, what was he going to do? I mean, if the guy's dead already, what are you going to do, pound it further into his skull or what,
Right.
So
It's definitely a soap opera or a space opera.
There you go.
Where there's so many threads running that I think anyone who tunes in now wouldn't necessarily know what's going on, because in the short period of time, the eight episodes, they've really developed the characters, really have moved the story along. And unlike Star Trek, and I guess that's the negative I have about Star Trek, they always resolved things. At the end of every single episode, it would always be a resolution, and it would almost be like an artificial ending. It's sort of like when in The Next Generation, when Picard became the Borg. Mm-hmm. It was resolved in the first, the next season premiere, where actually Patrick Stewart wanted the character to be feeling the after effects of the Borg implantation for several more episodes. But no, we got to end it. We got to move on. With Battlestar Galactica, it's sort of like there is no real ending. It's just a continuation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the direction of the studio. I mean, you know, it's Star Trek just did what they, you know, the writers and producers basically did what Paramount told them to do. Whereas here, Universal is pretty much has given Ron Moore and Ike pretty much a free rein on the series, you know, except for the opening music, of course. But
which is good.
Yeah.
Which is very good, because I think so much of our science fiction has been shaped by Star Trek that people think sci-fi and Star Trek should be equivalent to each other, and I know some of the old fans don't like the fact that Moore is redefining science fiction, but he's changing the focus toward what it has been for about 20 years, and that is that we're not going to have these quick and easy resolutions, but that they're going to be continuing, and you're not going to have finished stories, but they're going to be leading up to something big and really climactic. So his work on Carnival is an excellent example, too, of the same thing.
Wow.
I mean, that just stretched out 13 weeks, and it led up to something really great at the end of season one. So,
Well, Koenig, we're going to have to let you go, because we've got Michael Hinman's waiting in the wings, so we'll let you go. And Koenig, nice talking to you again.
You too.
All right, thank you very much.
You take care.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Koenig Rules. He's on from GalacticaStation.com and MediaBoulevard.com and Sci-Fi. .com and everything else. So some people out there were mad that he was scooping my ratings news. But I mean, it's a free country. I can't very well muzzle, ask Sci-Fi to give me an exclusive on ratings for an internet radio show. I mean, it's a little presumptuous of me, I think. But anyway, actually, I said the episode the last week was incredible. The interplay between Thrace and Leoben, and it was back and forth like these mind games. She was eating the food, and then you tell he was hungry, and then she was trying to psych him out, and then the whole water torture thing where they're drowning him in the water and pulling him out and sticking him back in, and they beat the daylights out of this guy, and how he gave a premonition of the future, how they are going to find Kobol, and they're going to, from there they're going to be able to find Earth. So I mean, it was a pretty incredible show. I mean, they built drama of simple little premises, like a prisoner on a ship. They built a whole hour episode based on that drama of that. So I mean, it's incredible way they do that. And then Friday is going to be Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, based with Ty and his wife. So they're going to build a whole episode out of a simple little premise of the series. So I mean, my hat's off to the powers that be over there. I mean, they take like water stretch over three episodes, and they did the whole thing with Starbuck crash landing on that planet. And they stretch it out for two episodes, and she's still feeling the effects of that, because she's still walking around with that knee brace on and with the crutch. So I mean, it's just amazing how they take the smallest things and they weave it into a huge storyline. Yet the threads go through the whole episode, the whole season almost. I mean, it's amazing how they do this, and just the creative geniuses over there. And if you go on the sci-fi.com website, you'll see some of the deleted scenes they've had on there, and even that's incredible. And they had clips of about the doctor, or not about the doctor, about the Baltar, and they had the like father like son with the Dama and his son. It's just the interplay between the two characters. They have Edward James Olmos talking and Jamie Bamber. I mean, just every week, every couple days on that site, something new pops up, some new web feed and everything else. So I mean, it's an incredible show. Effort. Oh, there you go. I think it's Michael Hinman. Michael Hinman, you there?
Oh yeah, I'm right here.
There you go. So how are you doing there?
Oh, hey. Hanging in there.
We think of my paper here with the cut corners.
I saw that. That was actually pretty cool.
There you go. Yeah.
I would try to get them to do that with my newspapers but they won't listen.
Well, actually, I was at work today, and one of the ladies I work with at work, she likes the show too. I had my notes shoved in my little corner at the hotel, and I came back to take them with me. I'm like, what the hell? She called the corners, and some of it was sentences I was trying to read at the ad lib. But I mean, what'd you think of Flesh and Bone?
Hey, it's a good episode. It's a I don't know where anybody would think that was like kind of a snooze episode, but it really wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I thought it was an excellent episode there. I mean, it tweaks their own, but I liked the drama they built out of that. Right?
Well, I mean, and it also is setting up a lot what's coming up. So I mean, yes. It really does. This is definitely a setup episode.
Yeah. Because the guy, Leoben, whispered in Laura's ear that Adama's a Cylon.
Oh,
so
he
that's
is.
Gonna,
oh. I must have missed that part.
You missed that part? Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. And so then she, you know, no. So now that the seed's planted that, you know, Adama could very well be a Cylon, correct? And they did the, and then Baltar's got his Cylon detector working because he tested Boomer, and she is a Cylon, but he was worried about Six was whispering in his ear that she was going to snap and tear off his head, right? So she let him go, or he let her go. He let her go, right?
Yeah, I mean,
we know how you feel about Grace Park, but I mean,
I don't know. I mean, Grace is just very inconsistent, unfortunately. But you know what's sad is that I mean they could have really the whole Adama as a Cylon thing could have been dragged on for a while. But I mean, I can say that whichever way it goes, it does get resolved pretty quick. So
really,
unfortunately, like as soon as this Friday.
Ooh, yeah, don't spoil anything for us. But wow.
You know, so you know, I mean, I was kind of wondering, is this something that's going to be dragged on for the rest of the season? And you know, so is this going to just distract us from everything else? And they really don't let it. So
does almost peel off his mask and he's it's Hoster with the eye going like from the old show or what?
No, I think his spine starts glowing when he eats noodles. I don't
know.
I mean,
no. We can't say about Edward James Olmos. He's a great, great actor, and I hope to bring him on to the program.
Oh, he is a great actor. Yeah. So, I mean, don't get me going on him.
Yeah. And now we're taking the ratings. Now, Koenig and I are having a dispute over the ratings, but, I mean, 2.53, were you to verify that for us
from last week? To be honest with you, with the ratings from cable channels, they're a lot harder to come by than, like, say, the networks.
Yes.
Because the networks, they're going to be out there no matter what, because I mean those are still your, you know, they're still the big boys that are out there, and mm-hmm. you know the cable channels, you know, they usually only put out ratings when it's a big deal, and you're not going to see them do anything when it goes flat or anything else like that. But I mean, just from what I understand, I mean there's probably going to be occasional drops here and there. You're going to get that with any good show, mm-hmm. or with any bad show. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing's ever going to stay flat constantly every single week.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see some spikes, you know, either way. So
yeah.
I don't think anybody should get bent out of shape each week. That's why I don't really report on the ratings each week.
Really?
We reported on it initially only because we were in that initial stage of, well, how is the show going to do? You know, what's going to happen after the third or fourth week? You know, is the show going to get picked up? But once mm-hmm. the show got picked up and, you know, these ratings don't even really matter that much now, we stopped reporting it because, I mean, all you're doing is, it's almost like taking a presidential poll every day for like 9 months leading up to the election.
Yeah, true.
You know, it just doesn't really show you anything. You know, Bush will be bigger one day, Kerry will be bigger one day.
Yeah.
You know, it just fluctuates all over the
yeah.
place.
What do you think of the rumor that they might move the show to a different night and time?
I don't think there's much to that because, you know, sci-fi doesn't really have a lot going on right now. I mean, a few years ago they announced like a whole bunch of really cool shows they were going to do, mm-hmm. and Battlestar Galactica was one of them at the time. And, I mean, things like a remake of Quantum Leap and all this other stuff, things that never really came to fruition. And to be honest with you, they have some projects, you know, that are in development. But, I mean, in order for you to move something, well, you know, where Koenig is right, I mean, networks, you know, usually want to move shows around that are high rated that, mm-hmm. you know, can hopefully serve as a good lead-in or help anchor a night. But, I mean, you have to have something, you know, to be with that anchor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, putting Dead Like Me, you know, with that, I mean, that's just, that would never work.
Yeah,
I mean, those are just two totally separate shows that, I mean, I love Dead Like Me, don't get me wrong, and mm-hmm. I'd love to see somebody pick that show up, but mm-hmm. I just can't see it coupled with,
Galactica.
I can't see it coupled with Battlestar Galactica.
No, need a show in front of it or in back of it that kind of, you know, flows with the show, with that show, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you can have a little bit of contrast, you can have a little bit of diversity that works with
that.
Yeah,
but not Dead Like Me.
But it's kind of extreme, it's almost like putting Seinfeld, like, up against, you know, Meet the Press or something.
Yeah.
You have to be careful about how you do that, and mm-hmm. cable channels really don't have an opportunity to really shine on different nights, and I mean, once you find a big night, you usually have to kind of stick with it.
Well,
I'd be kind of surprised if they move it.
Yeah, I mean, because like NBC's got must-see, they used to, now that NBC's in the tank, but they had, you know, must-see TV Thursday nights, and now Sci-Fi's got must-see TV on Friday nights. So, I mean, I'd say leave it alone.
If it's not broke, stick with it, because once you start moving things around, that's really when the problems start.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, the fans start, you know, they can't find the show. I mean, that's how they murdered some of these other shows. They start bouncing these shows around, and you know where they're at, and the people give up trying to look for it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even try half the time unless it's something that I really like to see. Like, I think I heard that they were moving some HBO show to Monday night. You know, it might have been Six Feet Under or something when it comes back on, and I'm like, Well, man, I mean, why are we doing that kind of stuff? I mean, let's just keep it on one night and...
Yeah.
I mean, it's the last damn season. What else do you want?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I hope they leave it alone and everything. Just because the show's doing real well. I mean, have you heard anything about the production schedule? Like what Koenig was saying, they start at the end of the month. And
they're starting at the end of the month. They have to. I mean, if they're getting ready for a July launch.
Yeah, they're gonna move fast because March, April, May, June, July. They got 4 months to shoot up,
which is plenty of time.
Really?
You know, but I mean, but they're definitely, you're gonna see people starting up and
You
know, and I mean, I definitely believe Bodie when he says that he doesn't really know if he's gonna be on, you know, if he's been picked up yet because.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when they start filming, that's when, you know, everybody have a better idea what's going on.
Yeah, well, I bet my life he's going to be on the show. I mean, come on, right?
Oh, yeah,
I would think. I mean, who else said that, too, that they weren't sure they won't know until pretty much right before they start shooting the new episodes that they're actually going to be back.
What's funny about Bodie, too, is that, you know, like, I didn't really pay that much attention to the credits when I watched the series the first time through from the UK version. I didn't even realize that was Edward James Olmos' kid until after the American premiere.
Really?
And somebody mentioned it on the message board. I'm like, what, really?
Wow.
I mean, you know, usually, you know, those kind of actors will stand out, the kind that, you know, that might have gotten on because, you know, of their father. Like, I mean, I recognize Edward James Olmos' wife in the miniseries, like, instantly because there's just no acting there. But, I mean, he's very talented.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he comes from a very talented family. And it's very clear.
Like I said, they got 20 episodes next season, so they'll be fleshing out some of these, you know, secondary characters a little bit more in the season to come. I mean, this year they only had 13 episodes. They had to pick up from the miniseries and then build more story off of that. So, I mean, it's to be expected. I mean, they only got 13 weeks. What do you expect?
And I think you can expect to see a lot more of the secondary characters develop. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Ron Moore has proven one thing in his life is that, I mean, he knows how to flesh out secondary characters to the point where you almost forget who is secondary and who's not secondary.
Yeah.
So,
now we have like a minute left. Now, what do you think of now this week here in the United States? We have Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down. What's your opinion of that episode?
It's going to be a good episode. It's more comic relief.
Really?
You know, like we've had a lot of dark episodes, you know, right in a row. This is going to be, you know, because I can tell you that T's wife, and I think they said that in the preview, so I'm not spoiling anything, but.
Really?
I mean, she's definitely a character, and she's someone that's going to play a pretty pivotal role, you know, coming toward the end of the season.
Really?
And yeah. So, I mean, it's actually, you know, what some of the scenes that you're seeing in the previews is actually some very humorous scenes that, I mean, just make you laugh out loud.
Wait a minute. Somebody's in the chat room asking me if Shauna Mack is going to be in the second season. Yeah, I'm the previous leader. I'm going to spoil the whole damn season.
Yeah, I'm pulling for you to be in the second season.
Yeah,
sir.
As what? I could be the reporter. Well, actually, because supposedly Billy's going to be shooting a pilot, so maybe he gets picked up. I could slide in that role and...
See, there you go.
Laura Roslin. No, I'd probably be... Galactic's probably going to have some of those guys with the red shirts that get killed off every week, you know?
Hell, I'd give them $20 just to let me be a red shirt.
Really?
Kill me off. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I just... Man, I don't know. I like to be in it. I like to
go
up to
the set. I can point out, say, hey, look, there, you know, there I am. I'm getting killed. So.
Yeah. I like to go up to the studio up in Vancouver and see them shoot, you know. But that ruins it, though, because, I don't know, I've done that before, and then I see this show, I'm like, oh, this ruins the whole thing for me. There's like a fantasy that they are on the Galactica, you know what I mean? And you go down up and see them shoot, it's kind of like, oh, this is it, you know what I mean?
I don't think they let Florida people at Vancouver just because, you know,
I'm in Las Vegas.
Freeze to death in the middle of summer.
Oh,
so.
Really? I'm from Las Vegas, so I might freeze up there too. So I don't know, but I'm from the Casino City, so I could tie in with the Casino Planet. You know,
see, there you go.
There you go. Yeah, I'm in LV Rocks, which is uncensored, and you know, Galactica kind of teeters on that edge with those sex scenes they have. You know.
Yeah, you're so uncensored. I mean, we're all cussing all the time here. You know.
Yeah. But I should keep it clean somewhat because you know who's listening. I mean, a lot of kids are watching the show and everything else. So
I don't want my mom to know.
Oh, you're being cut off by the silence.
It is done, Imperious Leader.
Michael Hinman, we're going to have to let you go.
All right, it was good talking to you.
All right, thank you.
All right, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Michael Hinman from Sci-Fi Portal, syfiportal.com. And we appreciate him coming on, and him and Koenig and Xenu was supposed to be on. There you go. From Galactica Station, and he couldn't make it because he's a filmmaker as well. He's off shooting some kind of film. So we wish him well in his shoot and hope he comes back maybe next week. And we're going to wrap it up, I guess, right? There you go. Wow. And next week, I don't know, I don't have any booked yet, so because my sci-fi NBC Uni rep friend is on vacation for a week, so I'm kind of up the creek without a paddle, but we'll see what we do next week. So anyway, Saab Lofton is next. Tomorrow is Daily Noise with who's that dude from Deadwood? You know, some ass.
William Sanderson.
There you go. Anyways, and we'll see you next week. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.